This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Fox News Alert, Circuit News' Sarah Carter. She'll be on tomorrow night. A major breaking story tonight. Former Obama White House National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes is, in fact, now a person of interest in the House Intel Committee's investigation into unmasking. We continue now with Laura Ingraham. Right. I wanted to hold this for its own unique segment because it's Susan Rice now. Now, we had the article about James Clapper. Then we have the article about Ben Rhodes, and more leaks, seven times the amount of leaks than the previous two administrations. Unless people go to jail for the felonies they're committing, we're never going to see an end to this, are we? And I'm not saying anyone's guilty, but it's got to be gotten to the bottom of.
Well, the Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act looks like, according to Sarah Carter's reporting, could have been the back door that was used for this unmasking. And if this unmasking was done in for any way for political motives or without going through the proper channels, then I mean, this is a felony. I mean, you can't do this for political purposes. That happens in a police state. That doesn't happen in the United States of America. And last time I checked, we weren't a police state. And you're not supposed to be able to spy on your political enemies. You're supposed to defeat them at the ballot box. And Ben Rhodes, at the National Security, as National Security Advisor, and others, are going to have to answer these questions. I know we met with the Senate Intelligence Committee last week. That was on the Russia probe. We don't know if the issue of unmasking was probed in depth then, Sean. But I certainly hope that Susan Rice is finally going to be willing to speak to these committees because, as we know, she has refused to testify. She will not testify. Why?
As Pete Hoekstra, well, she's going to have to testify. You said something that is so very important, and Pete Hoekstra actually used the term, he's deeply concerned. I want to explain to people why this is important, and I want to get your response. We give our intelligence community, and these are brave men and women that are protecting us from ISIS, Al-Qaeda, China, Russia, Iran, all our enemies. We give them these powerful tools, and the 99% of intel people risk their lives for us and deserve credit. We don't know their names. They work so hard. But here's the problem. If those powerful tools are turned on the American people, and then the intel is leaked like General Flynn, we have a police state, Laura, by that 0.1%. This is a real clear danger for Americans.
I agree, and this is why people like Rand Paul and others have long since argued against the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And I understand there are all these conservatives, neoconservatives, and others who say, no, we need this or we can't stop attack. The problem is we have bad actors inside our own government, Sean. And if you have bad actors inside our own government who are willing to spy on innocent Americans and then unmask their names for political purposes, then we're not using it for terrorists. We're using it to overturn an election or to prevent an electoral victory that they feared there was some possibility of happening. That's what seems to have happened. They were trolling for information. If I was a betting person, I would bet that one of these characters, maybe it was Rhodes, maybe it was Rice, thought, you know, let's just see what they're doing. Let's just see what these characters are up to. We have this sense about Russia. Let's see what they're up to. And they went on some type of fishing expedition here. Then someone should be going to jail. And the Justice Department under Jeff Sessions ought to take this very seriously, and Congress ought to take this very seriously, because this is becoming a deep state dictatorship if we don't curb these abuses and show people that the rule of law will be enforced.
I hope people are hearing us. This is really important,
it's
and I'm
going
to make a prediction. It's scary, and my prediction is other top Obama people will also be found involved. Top, not the intelligence community, the top people.
Now, what's that sound?
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. You know, Muhammad Atta told the Doom Airline passengers on 9/11, just stay quiet and you'll be okay. Well, interestingly, we hear those exact same haunting messages today from the powerful but shadowy lobby that is working behind the scenes to gut the First Amendment and prohibit hate speech or any criticism of Islam. Robert Spencer joins us, New York Times bestselling author, the director of Jihad Watch. You can go to jihadwatch.org for more information. A program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and author of 16 books on Islam. He's led seminars on jihad for the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and the United States Central Command. Robert Spencer, good to have you back with us. How are you doing, sir?
Just great. How are you?
Hey, doing terrific. Congratulations on the book. I appreciate you coming to the forefront. This book needed to be written, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because the ground is being cut up from under our feet, and people don't even realize it. There is a concerted and organized and very powerful effort to restrict the freedom of speech of Americans, and most Americans have no idea it's even happening, and yet it's going on right under our noses.
Well, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Free Speech and Its Enemies, which is just being released, you point out aggressive Muslims and their appeasers have mounted a dangerous and disturbingly successful campaign against our constitutional rights. I mean, the reason our founding fathers, you know, when you think of all the things they wanted to really bring to the forefront, freedom of speech was number one. And there's a reason that we have free speech, right?
Oh, absolutely. The freedom of speech was number one for a very important reason. It is our fundamental protection against the tyranny. It's our foremost protection for making sure that we have a free society. If we don't have the freedom of speech, then the ruler can declare anything that is dissenting from his policies to be hate speech or beyond the bounds of reasonable discourse and outlaw it, and then nobody can say a word against what he's doing. And that's why the founding fathers knew that to have a free society, you had to have the freedom of speech. Nowadays, on the other hand, just a few years ago, we had Secretary of State Hillary Clinton signing on at the United Nations to a resolution that called upon members of the UN to criminalize what they called incitement to religious hatred. Now, the first impulse is to think, well, nothing's wrong with that. Who's in favor of religious hatred? Of course. The problem is that the Muslim organizations that were sponsoring this meant by religious hatred any criticism of Islam at all, including counterterrorism analysis of the motives and the goals of jihad terrorists.
So how does that square up, Robert, with the contemporary saying of see something, say something?
Well, the see something, say something idea is being steadily eroded. A few years ago, there was a young man, a high school student, in Texas, a Muslim, and he brought a clock to school. He said he had built a clock, when actually what he had done was take the apparatus of the clock outside of the casing and put it in a suitcase so that it looked like a bomb.
Right.
And he brought it to school, and school officials, because of course they're very careful about the shootings and so on in schools nowadays, they suspended him. And then he charged that they were Islamophobic. And he was, of course, celebrated. President Obama at the time brought him to the White House. He went to the UN. He got praise and awards and prizes from all over. And the upshot really is, if you see something, say something, unless it's a Muslim, because then it would be racist and bigoted and Islamophobic. And so the whole message that is reinforced by that incident and many others is that it's wrong, it's bigoted, it's hateful to oppose jihad terrorism and to try to take rational steps to limit its activity.
You know, it's rather interesting, and I'm sure the school is scratching their head and the attorneys with it, along with many Americans, going, wait a minute, somebody brings, you know, something to school that looks rather pernicious and you can't do anything about it because you've got to check the source. If it's a Muslim that brings it in, then you better just leave it alone and hope to God it doesn't blow up anybody.
Yeah, and this idea is reinforced over and over. Another incident that I talk about in the book is the Fort Dix plot. Several years ago, there was a plot by several Muslims to go into Fort Dix in New Jersey and to shoot as many American soldiers as they could before they themselves were killed. It was a martyrdom plot. And it was foiled when the plotters took their gory jihad videos of beheadings and such to a video store, and they asked him to ask this kid there who was working there to transfer the videos from VHS to DVD. While he's doing it, he saw them. And he was very alarmed, and he went to his boss, and he said, I'm seeing some terrible things on these videos. Should I go to the police, or would that be racist?
Wow.
And the idea that he even hesitated for a moment, he did ultimately go to the police, and the plot was foiled. But the fact that he hesitated shows just how far advanced the idea has become, that opposing jihad terror, it's wrong, it's racist, it's bigoted, it's Islamophobic. We have to just let them do whatever they want.
Well, we need some reprogramming here, something to, you know, settle the issue to where we can operate truly. But, you know, as we've discussed many times on this show, Robert, is, you know, especially this millennial generation is, for the lack of education, the whole idea of our First Amendment right has been absolutely perverted. Then they really don't understand what the First Amendment really means.
Oh, that's very important, Bill. That's very important. Another thing I discuss in the book in connection with that is one time a few years ago, I was speaking at Cal Poly, the university in California.
Yes.
And this young girl said, in the disagreeing with what I was saying, she said, hate speech is not free speech. And she was claiming I was purveying hate speech. And I asked her, well, what do you define as hate speech? And she said something about, you know, marginalizing people or something. And I said, well, who gets to decide what's hate speech? You're proposing the setting up of some government tribunal, essentially, that would have enormous authority to control the public discourse. And whatever the guardians of what was hate speech and what wasn't considered to be acceptable discourse, that's the only thing that could be said. That's the death of a free society. But this idea that hate speech is not free speech is spreading. It's very common. I've heard it on many, many college campuses.
Exactly.
And I think young people just do not realize what freedom of speech is and why it's important.
Well, a term like that, to me, that's a bumper sticker mentality. There's not much backing. There's not much substance to that. Sounds good. You know, when you're in the echo chamber, sounds good. But then when you go to test it in the marketplace, and fortunately you were there to call the question, what did she say after you presented your position on it?
She said, you are proposing a Hobbesian indictment of the powerful. And I thought, well, I'm not quite sure what that means. It's been many years since I looked at the writings of Thomas Hobbes. But
yes.
An indictment of the powerful is exactly what I meant to propose, because hate speech laws are a tool of the powerful to silence the powerless.
Yes.
And that she would not realize that is an indictment of our academic community.
Kind of amazing when you think about the tail shaking the dog, a small percentage of people controlling the majority of Americans because they've been able to utilize our First Amendment right against us. A bit ironic, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's only going to get worse because most people aren't aware of it.
We're talking about The Complete Infidel's Guide to Free Speech. Robert Spencer is with us. More from Robert on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
If there's a toxic chemical biological gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off plus free shipping.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Today, how to get started on incorporating your business in just 10 minutes, so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call incorporate.com to start your incorporation in just 10 minutes, or get a free incorporation toolkit including exclusive information on how to start and grow your business. Call 1-800-943-6798. Incorporate.com doesn't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy, so you can start incorporating or forming an LLC in just 10 minutes. Step 3. Congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes, you're on the way to protecting your home, car, and life savings. And that is how you get started on incorporating your business in just 10 minutes. Call 1-800-943-6798. Incorporate.com is giving away incorporation toolkits for free. That's 1-800-943-6798.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Dust off the sun and moon and sing a song.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're rolling them out. Why not? 19 after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. Robert Spencer joins us, best-selling author. We're talking about the release of his brand-new book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Free Speech and Its Enemies. Robert, I did want to talk to you about something that's happening in the headlines, and this has to do with the Minneapolis police officer that was a diversity hire. And we've got a problem here, with the, you know, with the shooting, that took place, by this Somali Muslim. Explain that to our audience, if you would.
Yeah, sure. Mohammed Noor, a Minneapolis police officer, he was answering a call from an Australian woman, Justine Damon, in Minneapolis, Saturday night. And she was reporting what she thought might be a rape. It was not involving her. It was just something she was hearing. And Noor and his partner drove up. And then she walks up to the window of the car. And he shoots her dead. Mm. And now this is something that is still a mystery in that we don't know why he did it. He hasn't been talking. Nobody, apparently by the laws of the police department there, he cannot be compelled to make a statement, although it would seem like that would stymie investigators to a tremendous degree. But in any case, what has come out is that he was a diversity hire, as is known. He was on the force because he was a Somali and a Muslim to show the diversity and the lack of Islamophobia on the police department in Minneapolis. And he was also incompetent. He
yes.
There have been three complaints about him in his first 2 years on the force, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. And one of his neighbors, when he found out that he was the policeman who had shot this unarmed woman, he said, well, he wasn't surprised because he was very nervous and jumpy. He had little respect for women. All these things should have disqualified him from the force, but he was obviously kept on because of his symbolic value as a sign of the diversity of the force. And this is just actually part of the same problem that leads to the restrictions on the freedom of speech. The idea is, well, you cannot criticize what is supposed to be a victimized community, Muslims supposedly being victims of hate crimes to a tremendous degree, although actually there are very few, and Jews are far more often the recipients of hate attacks in the United States. But in any case, the idea is that criticism of them has to be restricted. In the same way, Mohammed Noor was kept on the force because it would have been Islamophobic and bigoted and racist to take him off the force. And
yeah.
So now a woman is dead because of these wrong-headed diversity policies.
Yeah, exactly. And some would argue, well, this is just, you know, this is an anomaly. This is just one example. But like you say, you know, like in any hire, I would question, and I'm sure other police officers there in Minneapolis would question, you know, the consideration that was given to Mohammed Noor, because anybody else with these kind of problems in the first 2 years would have been ushered out of the police force.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. If Mohammed Noor were a white Christian, he would not have been on the force. I mean, with that kind of record, he would have been removed from the force almost as quickly as he was put on it. And instead, he was celebrated right when he was put on the force. The mayor made a special announcement about his being hired and joining the force. I doubt that the mayor of Minneapolis makes a special announcement about every police officer who joins the force.
Right.
But they really wanted, they had a lot invested in Mohammed Noor. They had actually fast-tracked him, which is also one of the things that I believe led to Justine Damon's death. He wasn't given the proper training that is usually given to police officers. They were so anxious to have him. They so much needed to showcase this Somali Muslim as a police officer that they didn't even train him properly, and now they're paying, reaping the consequence.
Without a doubt. And if you have a neighbor saying that he's nervous and jumpy, you're going to tell me the other police officers didn't see that?
Yeah, and they, of course, would have been scared to say anything. Here's the inhibition on the freedom of speech again. They didn't feel free to go to their commanding officers and say, this guy is too easily rattled to be a competent police officer, because they would know, oh, no, if they did that, they would be brought up on charges of racism and Islamophobia.
Unbelievable. So, you know, and I can understand on surface, Robert, and I think most of us could understand saying, okay, you're in a Muslim community here that's been, you know, growing, and it's quite consequential in Minneapolis. So, the natural inclination would be, well, let's get people of their own kind to help us with inner city relations and understanding what's going on. So one of those correct observation, wrong conclusion type of episodes, right?
Oh, yeah, Bill. See, the thing is, there's no problem. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sure, if they're going to have a large Somali Muslim community in Minneapolis, then by all means, there should be Somali Muslim police officers. But they should be held to the same standards as everybody else, trained as well as everybody else, and held accountable like everybody else. And by those standards, Mohammed Noor would not have ever been on the force. Maybe some other competent Somali Muslim police officer could be on the force, but not Mohammed Noor. And the problem is the relaxation of standards and the fear of speaking out that results in this kind of tragedy.
Well, in your book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Free Speech, Robert Spencer, you talk about the social behemoths, Facebook and Twitter, all complicit in this movement. I mean, have they kind of unbeknownst to themselves joined hands with this, this confused speak that is becoming more and more pervasive?
Oh, very much so. And I think they know full well what they're doing. The German government has been pressuring, and the EU in general, the European Union in general, has been pressuring Facebook and the other social media giants to crack down on hate speech. Mm-hmm. Of course, here again, hate speech is a subjective thing. It's not a readily identifiable quantity. Whatever you believe is, of course, what you think is true and right. And then you might think that opposing views are hate speech. And so whoever's in power determines what hate speech is. And this is the problem. The left is in power in Europe. They tell Facebook to crack down on hate speech, and Facebook cracks down on my site, which tracks jihad terror activity and is opposed to the mass immigration policies that have brought so much crime and unrest to Europe. And they characterize, because Islamic groups have characterized any honest analysis of the motivating ideology of jihad terrorists as hate speech, and they've done this for years. Now the other shoe is dropping. Now they want to stamp out all the hate speech. Facebook is shutting us down. My referrals, Jihad Watch's referrals from Facebook, dropped 90% in the middle of February, and they've never recovered. And Facebook also has gone to Pakistan and spoken with the Pakistani government, agreeing that they would take down content that was offensive to Islam, that violated Sharia blasphemy law. And that's on that basis that sites like mine and others are being shut out, because Pakistan doesn't want honest discussion of the jihad terror threat.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing just how powerful they have become, really. And you think about it, in a short period of time, it seems, at least on the surface. But, you know, this is all core Islamic teachings that make criticism of Islam punishable by death. So, though we're, maybe in some cases, maybe unique cases where people are being punished by death because they've been critical of Islam, the overriding thing that they're, trying to break through here in this country is to stifle speech in order to protect their core value. And that is the value of not being able to criticize Islam. So, if you can't criticize something, what does that tell you?
Exactly. Those are the people in power. Like the old expression goes, that if you want to know who rules over you, then find out who you cannot criticize. And
what
we cannot criticize in the U.S. today are Islam and Muslims.
Well, Robert, great job on the book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Free Speech and Its Enemies. It will open your eyes. Open is just being released today. Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and author of this book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Free Speech. Where can they go for more information, Robert?
My website, jihadwatch.org, and it's also available at amazon.com and any self-respecting book.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, get involved. I mean, you got to see what's happening. This is like one of those nooses that is tightening more and more in our culture. As we say, you got social media behemoths like Twitter and Facebook already bending their knee to this. What next? As they continue to control our speech and forbid us from asking questions and being critical.
This report is brought to you by the Alta.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
800-501-1633. 800-501-1633. 800-501-1633. That's 800-501-1633.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating an extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there. You can drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Curtis Kalin joins us now. Curtis is the communications director and spokesman for Citizens Against Government Waste, a private, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization representing more than a million members and supporters nationwide. And if you don't know about Citizens Against Government Waste, you're going to be highly elated. What they do and what they've been doing for a number of years here is holding government accountable and making us aware of the government waste that's taking place. And they've just released their 2017 congressional, what they call the pig book. Curtis, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, let's talk about the pig book, not to be confused with our good friend, Senator Thomas Coburn, who for many years presented his waste book. But he cited overall, there is a difference between that waste book and what the pig book is all about, right?
That is right. The pig book focuses specifically on earmarks, which are the little pieces of pieces of pork, I guess, which are placed in all of the spending bills, which go around the budget process, and those are some infamous names like the Bridge to Nowhere, Teapot Museums, crazy stuff like that.
Exactly. So this little piggy went to Washington, and here we got the 2017 Congressional Pig Book Summary, the book Washington doesn't want you to read and be aware of. But, hey, what do we know? We just go where fools fear to tread, and we expose it all because we're about the truth. And after all, we're talking to people's money here, Curtis.
That is right. And so yeah, in 2017, we actually found 163 earmarks. Which cost taxpayers $6.8 billion with a B, which is a third more in terms of cost, one third increase since last year. So this is a problem that is getting worse.
Now, is this one of the few bipartisan things in our government? Is that both parties are equally responsible for the piggy stuff that's going on?
Yes, unfortunately, that is true. I mean, I think there was an old expression. It's been long before I was even alive in Washington, which there are actually three parties. There's Republicans, Democrats, and appropriators. Appropriate the money. And so usually that's where most of the earmarks go, is to people who are on the Appropriations Committee, who have control over the money, which honestly makes the whole process unfair because it only goes to a very small select group of people. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just an issue generally. We've been doing pig books since 1991, so this is the 25th edition of it. And since 91, we found a total of 110,605 earmarks.
Wow.
And that's a total cost for 25 of these pig books of $329.9 billion.
Wow. And here we are at, $6.8 billion, is that what you said, for this year?
That's correct. Yeah, $6.8 billion just this year.
Okay, so what is, in your definition, as far as this pork that flies around, what qualifies?
Well, basically, it's any budget line item in the spending bills that go above. Well, actually, there are seven criteria. I won't go through all of them. But the main ones that you see most often are there are these funds and programs that they ask for a certain amount of money in their budget. Mm-hmm. And Congress turns around and gives them more than what they even asked for, which is a telltale sign that there's an earmark in there. Because what's often happened now, because since they had the moratorium in 2011, the process is completely secretive now. So you get this mysterious upping in the funding beyond what the program or the fund or the program of the department even wanted. Mm-hmm. And then what often happens is the member of Congress will call the agency after he or she would do that and say, "Hey, look, I got you an extra X million dollars. Why don't you spend it on this project that I like?" So this is actually a change since the moratorium. Before the moratorium, you could just there was a list in the back of the spending bills that would list amount of money, project, and the member that requested it. Now it's all underground, and so it's almost impossible to connect the dots on that unless the member of Congress, which I can send you a couple examples here, but sometimes the member of Congress will put out a press release and brag, "Hey, look what I did."
Yeah.
And so that's the only way to connect the dots now because the process is so secretive.
How do they get away with this? I mean, is this like some form of illegality that we don't know about, or is it just Congress doing what they do, you know?
Yeah, it's not necessarily illegal, and the moratorium is more of an agreement amongst both chambers than it is a legally binding thing, because I mean Congress does have the power of the purse, and that's something that is fine unless it gets abused. And so any time in Washington, that often happens. But yeah, it's just an issue that has been around for a long, long time. There have been really, really bad days, really bad years. About 10, 11 years ago now, 2006 was the worst year. You had $29 billion in 1 year. But then the moratorium knocked that number down dramatically. But it also, as I said, it almost eliminated the transparency.
Exactly.
So now we have earmarks going back up, but this time in a process where it is almost impossible to connect the dots from member of Congress to the amount of money and the project.
Oh, they love this all the more. I mean, no accountability. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's almost worse now because the terms of, I mean, imagine if 11 years ago, the 2006 number, you had $29 billion, but we could account for every single person who requested an earmark that year. Problem is now you're having $6.8 billion, 163 earmarks, but it's almost impossible. There's only a fraction that we can actually say this senator or congressman requested this line item.
So what do you have to do? Do you have to follow these congressmen or senators back home when they do a town hall and hear them spout out some anecdotal information about how much money they got for their voters and pick it up that way?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, one of the poster children, if you can indulge me here a second, is Brian Schatz, Senator of Hawaii.
Yes.
He is the one, he is really the poster child for bragging about his earmark in the midst of a moratorium. He got this year $5.9 million for what's called the East-West Center. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very wasteful State Department program that the State Department didn't even want, and it keeps getting earmarks and funding. But that's a whole other discussion. There was also a North-South Center back, 15, 20 years ago, which was privatized. And so yet the East-West Center continues to get funding because Brian Schatz of Hawaii has a personal stake in it. And he put out a press release saying, look what I've done. I have all this. I've secured almost $6 million for my constituents, which is not the incentive that should be there.
Exactly. Well, a couple more minutes left here, Curtis. What about, you know, just touch on the most egregious here that will wake people's eyes up to the 2017 Congressional Pig Book?
Well, I would say the East-West Center is a big one. But in terms of money, the most earmarks of any department is DOD, the Department of Defense, the Pentagon. And so a lot of the high-dollar amounts are there. And so, for example, you have $500 million in this year's Pig Book for two additional F-35 Joint Strike Fighters. Now, the difference here is that, and the problem is that we all want the best national defense we can get.
Mm.
However, this is two F-35s, and we can go into the F-35 program is problematic generally.
Well, we're going to have a little bit more time than I thought, Curtis, so forgive me,
okay,
because we have another segment coming up. So,
okay, cool.
So go ahead and unwrap this a little bit more.
All right. I'll still be as quick as I can, which is the F-35 program is very problematic in a lot of ways anyway. It's going to be over $1 trillion into a program, a decade-long program that is really it's honestly a money pit. And $500 million for two additional aircraft in a troubled program. These two aircraft, two new ones, Pentagon says they don't even want them. And yet they keep doing it because I again, can't connect the two, but I would wager a guess that most of the people who wanted these earmarks were people in the districts where the parts and the manufacturing was housed.
We could keep people working, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. This is the kind of crazy stuff that goes on with our money, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking, you know, with Curtis Kalin, and he is the director of communications director and spokesman for Citizens Against Government Waste. We're breaking it down for you. I know this is a bit disgusting when we talk about this waste that takes place, but you know, you got to be aware that if this is a government up for and by we the people, that means we're responsible, and we're grateful for the Citizens Against Government Waste to present this. They've been doing this for a number of years. In fact, this is the 25th edition of the group's expose on pork barrel spending, the 2017 Congressional Pig Book. More from Curtis on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees, and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We the people. Listen to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're glad you do, because it is our mission to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And I know for some you may be listening to all the government waste that's going on, and we're just barely touching the tip of the iceberg, as they say, with Curtis Kalin, who is joining us. Curtis, of course, communications director for the Citizens Against Government Waste, as we talk about the 2017 Congressional Big Book. Curtis, you know, what you were mentioning about these jets, chump change, $500 million here, you know, for two F-35s that Pentagon says, hey, we really don't want these anyway. This is all part of a 16-year program that's been taking place that recently the Government Accountability Office said, hey, this thing's going to be a monstrosity. It's, we're just way out of budget here, and this could approximate something like $1 trillion. So those unintended consequences hit heavy in our budget, don't they?
They absolutely do. And that's one of the things that is the most problematic about earmarks and programs that kind of run amok, is that I think it was President Reagan who used to say the closest thing to eternal life on this earth is a government program. And that is 100% true and still is true to this day.
Well, let's talk about the Aquatic Plant Control Program.
Yes, that's $9 million worth this year. That's in a couple pig books in a row, I believe, that's been in there, money for it. And since 94, this has received 23 earmarks for $47 million. And it's just it's aquatic plant control. I mean, you know, you just want to kind of laugh about it. That was actually Chuck Schumer, Pat Leahy of Vermont, and actually former Senator Jeff Sessions,
now Attorney General.
He actually wanted that back in the day. And so those are the back in the day when we could absolutely connect name to earmark. Those are three people who wanted that stuff.
Well, the temptation has got to be for these congressmen and women when they see this money flying around and, they're going back to their constituents and saying, hey, look what I've done for you. You know, we've got, another 1,000 people working because of these earmarks that we've done. They don't put it like that. They just say, hey, this is the kind of work I've done for you. And, so they see this stuff flying around. So it's no wonder it becomes equal opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's right. And that's the number one thing I think we would like to get across. From CGW to taxpayers across the country, is that right now the incentive is backwards. The incentive is to bring more money, create more programs on top of other programs, where in reality the incentive really should be from taxpayers to their representatives. It should be, how much money did you save me? How much more efficiency can we get out of the dollars, not just spend more of them? And so there's two political calculuses there and incentives, and they're completely backwards. And I think the more we can flip that around and give politicians credit, like former Senator Coburn, for making tax money go further making it more efficient. So that means cutting is actually not a dirty word.
Right.
You know, cutting, which means you can make the money more efficient. You're not wasting as much of it. That should be as good, if not better, than saying, look at the money I got for you.
Right. Well, this is the problem. When you got 50 states represented all looking for their individual interests, it's not about a corporate deal. And I think this is why Tom Coburn's book, though it was out there, people just said, well, it's just business as usual. And it was greatly ignored. And even the constituencies, individually, we the people have not quite figured out what's going on, even though we're looking, down the nose of $20 trillion in debt. We're going to lift the debt ceiling one more time. Here we go. We're moving all in the wrong direction, and these earmarks are helping that cause.
That is true. So Senator Coburn, I mean, we are really missing him in Washington. Let me just say that.
Yes.
I mean, I think we with CGW, we are this close to putting Coburn's picture up on the wall.
Well, I was going to say he's deserving of a bronze statue, around somewhere in the center of D.C. With holy water coming out of his left ear or something, because I for what he tried to do, but it's just somewhere. Even the same thing what you guys are doing as well. But again, people need to understand that this is corporate pain. We're all feeling this. This is all having an effect on our growing $20 trillion of indebtedness.
Mm-hmm. That's 100% right. I mean, and that's why I think I would encourage all your listeners to go to pigbook.org. That's where the pig book is, and you can look at it. Everything's up there. CAGW.org is the full website, and go look at everything else we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just say, if the people want to be engaged, and I would highly recommend they do, because we have many, many issues in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think using the pig book and everything, I think CAGW and many other groups do to highlight this kind of stuff. Use it as tools. Go after your legislators. Make sure they are on the record against earmarks, which, by the way, there are a lot of Republicans who are indulging in this stuff when they really, really shouldn't. That's directly going against what they ran on. So I think it's just a matter of keeping members of Congress accountable.
Exactly, without a doubt. Well, this is the book you'll love to throw, because you'll read this, and I found myself, you read a chapter, you throw the book, and then you let it sit there for a while, and then you pick it up again, and you read another one, and you throw the book. Because this is, it's ridiculous, when you see what they're doing, with our money, and it's almost like I don't know that they even connect it with the people's treasury at all. It just seems so irresponsible, Curtis, that their desire for re-election, their desire for good guy, good girl points supersedes anything that has to do with responsible appropriations.
Right, and that goes back to the political incentives, mm-hmm. which are, the more, just like Senator Schatz, we mentioned
yes.
him in the last segment.
I was going to ask you who else is in the Hall of Fame here for these
Hall of
little
Shame, really.
Yeah, Hall of Shame, yes.
Brian Schatz is pretty good right now in terms of he's the one member who has really just bragged about this kind of stuff. Another person in the Hall of Shame, we couldn't figure out exactly any earmarks, but we know he's on record as being in favor of overturning the moratorium. And this is a Republican congressman from Florida. His name is Tom Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to create about 3 or 4 loopholes. He said, well, earmarks are bad except for these agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And those agencies coincidentally helped his home.
Yes,
district.
Of course.
and so he has been really forthright and very honestly shameless, frankly, mm-hmm. in his pursuit of overturning or creating loopholes in the moratorium, which is just completely backwards. I mean, the Republicans ran generally last year on a drain the swamp type rhetoric and election.
This is all part and parcel of it, isn't it?
Right. And for somebody to then turn around, not even, 6 months or a year later, and say, well, great. So now, now that we're back in the majority and we control Washington, let's open up all the things that we just ran against, all the reasons why the people voted us out to begin with in 2006.
Yeah.
2006, back when they lost the House, that was the top year of earmarking.
Exactly. Don't we love hypocrisy?
Yeah. And that kind of hypocrisy is what lost them the House in 2006. And coincidentally, 2006 was the worst earmarking year in terms of cost ever.
Unbelievable.
You know, same year the Republicans lost the House. So, I mean, I think if they want to do this again, and if they want to play with fire again, the worst thing they can do in terms of fiscal and political policy is to bring back the worst, most corrupt, wasteful system that they ever came up with, which was
exactly, yeah, without a doubt. Curtis, what about SAT grants?
Now, the Save America's Treasures grants, these are some of the worst in terms of just absurdity, just straight up absurdity. Mm-hmm. And this program is actually back getting earmarks. It hadn't gotten an earmark since 2010, since the moratorium, but somehow it's back. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we can't connect dollar to project as of yet because the money was just appropriated. But we know in the past these earmarks went to theaters and opera houses and museums. So basically very, very local things that no one would ever really hear or think of as these big, you know, treasures that should be saved.
Mm-hmm.
This original program was supposed to be around 1999-2000 to save things for the millennium. And yet, here we go again with, you know, a program that's going away. We're still, how many years later, we are still doing it. And so, yeah, these are earmarks back in the past. These are facilities that were used for, you know, high-end weddings were getting earmarks. I mean, some of these weddings cost almost as much as the earmark itself. It's really...
We're paying for weddings?
Well, you're paying for the taxpayer subsidization of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding itself, probably not, but to keep the facility up and under certain tax and taxpayer protections in terms of not knocking it down or something, that is subsidized by taxpayers, which is absurd. And in the pig book, we have some terrible examples of up in the upstate New York area. There's back in 2008. I think weddingspot.com or something called one of these facilities, one of the premier event wedding venues in the New York area. And so, I mean, it's just upscale weddings. Weddings that cost $7,500,000, and the facility is subsidized by taxpayers. That just is absurd. And so that's the kind of thing that might begin again when this program is now back to getting earmarks for the first time in 7 years.
Well, and of course, the way they're doing it in a non-transparent sort of way, you know, what happens next?
Exactly. And so the problem is now it's almost impossible to, again, unless the member of Congress wants to brag and boast. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of these things that it is part and parcel of the larger problem. But in the end, it's going to come down to members of Congress hearing from taxpayers. And hearing from their constituents, and so
how can their voice be heard, Curtis?
Well, again, take the pig book, pigbook.org, go on there, use it. There are many other things. Senator Coburn's reports. There are actually senators and congressmen that do these reports again. Flake of Arizona, and I think Lankford of Oklahoma, Coburn's successor, by the way,
right?
And also Rand Paul. They all do these waste books and things like that. Use those. Use the pig book. And confront your legislators. Next month's August recess.
That's great.
You're going to be back in town. So
Curtis Kalin, Communications Director, Spokesman for Citizens Against Government Waste. Great job on this, Curtis. Thank you.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Tyler, time to go for a